Hello and welcome to Conversations with the Voice of Reason. I'm your host, Benjamin Boyce, and today's conversant is Rebecca V, who is an anti-communist and an editor at Wrong Speak Publishing. And this conversation, we talk about her brand of politics, which is kind of normie-con, I would say, a normal conservative. She's a mother and somebody who's involved in her community and concerned about the direction that America's headed and is trying to collect and platform voices that center reasonableness and old-fashioned liberal conservative dialectic being, you know, how can we afford the best standard of living and the least amount of government interference for all? You can find Rebecca's work on Twitter, which is where I found her, and on Wrong Speak Publishing, which will be linked in the description. If you enjoy this show, like, subscribe, perhaps even donate. Without further ado, here is Rebecca V. Very sorry about that. I was in Saturday mode.
Me too. Me too.
Liking your decor.
I know. I'm in my bedroom. I have nowhere to do these types of things because I have five kids. And so wherever I'm trying to do this, it's like I'm looking for the quietest place. And this is that. So
it's not five kids. That's a story.
Yes.
Is that like
they're all young.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm the oldest of five, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm aware from the other direction what's going on.
What's that?
I'm aware from like the child direction what's going on.
Okay. Oh, you get direction. It? Okay. Yes. Yeah, yes. It's very crazy. Yeah. I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 7-month-old.
Wow.
So four
you're just
boys.
Trying to get this all done with.
All at once, yeah. I have four boys. The first four are boys, and then the last one was a surprise girl.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
And how did you get involved in your, I just wanted to get the right word for it, Wrong Speak Pub?
Yes. So I think you know Adam Coleman.
Yeah.
Right? Are you? So
my wife just interviewed him yesterday, actually.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah, I started following him just online, you know, on Twitter, and I liked what he had to say, and I started submitting articles to him, and then he asked me to write for him full-time, you know, a staff writer, and then he asked me to be an editor, and now I'm editing the online pieces.
Yeah.
So, or the opinion pieces.
Are you, do you have much in the way of, did you go to college or did you avoid that?
Yeah. I did go to college. So I've got 3 degrees. I studied political science in my undergrad and then mental health counseling with my graduate degree.
Okay.
But I'm not a therapist. I decided not to go in that direction.
What year did you graduate?
That's what I studied. From grad school, I graduated in 2013. So that was right before all the woke crazy stuff. So I didn't see any of that, nothing. Gender wasn't mentioned at any point in my 3 years in a graduate program.
Isn't that
so? It's just
interesting how in 2014.
Yes.
Something happened.
That must have been that was the cutoff. So I'm really glad that I got out before then, because I probably would have dropped out if it was this crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is your focus on now, intellectually speaking?
I mean, I guess I would consider myself anti-woke. I am conservative. So I'm solidly on the right, I would consider myself, but I'm very concerned about the direction of this country, particularly for the young people. So, you know, I have five kids. I don't want them growing up in a pseudo-communist environment. So my goal is to help push back against that. You know, I want to secure the future for my kids. That's my primary goal.
Mm-hmm. How based are you? Where do you draw the line?
I don't know. I mean, I think that we're a center right country, and that's the way we've always been, and that's the way I think it should be, but obviously, people have a right to live as they wish, and that's the way our society is set up, and it's possible to do that, but it's not possible to do that under this woke stuff. It's the
Okay.
complete opposite of that, so.
So what is the basis of your conservatism? Because I, in my experience, conservatism is highly relative to time and place, and
Sure.
historically speaking, I mean, if you go far back in time, you eventually become left wing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm definitely not a religious type. So,
Okay.
I don't follow all the Christian stuff, and quite frankly, I think that we should kind of move away from that. I mean, religion is great. I have a religion. I don't like to talk about it a lot because I don't really think it's anybody's business. So I'm more of the, I wouldn't say libertarian style because I do criticize libertarians a lot, but more of the, I guess, originalist perspective. The Constitution was set up in a very particular fashion, and that's the way. Our country was designed, and I think that's the way it's best for us to live. So I would say in that sense.
What is your perspective on why this woke stuff has gone so far so quickly?
I think a lot of it is straight up just apathy, especially with conservatives. I mean, I'll say this, they're lazy. We are fairly lazy. And I think there's been this notion that, oh, look at those weirdos over there. Oh, how cute. Just let them do their thing. That's fine. Oh, they're teaching these weird classes and oh well, I've got better things to do because something like that's not going to catch hold. We're a center right country. I don't have to worry about that until it's knocking at my door. You hear that a lot from conservatives. I don't have to worry about any of this stuff and still until it starts impacting me. Well, by the time it starts impacting you, it's too late. You can't change it at that point. So I do think that a lot of it, especially on the conservative side, is just apathy. And so now they're trying to catch up, and they're trying to get things back, get these institutions back. But in many cases, it's feels like it's too late, especially in education. And that's going to take decades. We'll be dead before they really wrestle these institutions away from these people. So conservatives need to wake up. And I talk to people all the time, like parents and so forth, and they know this stuff is bad, but they're not going to go to school board meetings and actively try and fight it out. And that's a really, really huge problem. I think that's the biggest hurdle conservatives need to get over.
A disengagement.
Yes.
Okay. So how do you mobilize them then? Especially if
Well,
if they're being painted, any sort of pushback is being painted as Christian nationalism,
right.
Christo-fascism, etc.
Well, to be honest, I don't think conservatives really care about that because we're always painted as the terrible people. So I don't think we are dissuaded by names as much as like more liberal-minded people are. We're called racists and terrorists and Nazis and so forth. And okay, you're going to call us those names regardless. So I don't think it's necessarily the name calling. I really do think it's the apathy. You can't just go to work and go home and have a beer and chill out. You got to go to the school board meetings. You got to do these types of things, which we're not necessarily inclined to do. And to get people motivated, I think, is to really show them what's going on. And you're starting to see some of that, especially when we're talking about in the schools, these crazy books and so forth. You're starting to see people stand up and speak out about that stuff. And I think it's just a matter of showing conservatives. It doesn't matter if you in Kansas or wherever you are in your red area, this is happening because every single educational institution in this country is run by liberals. I don't care where you live. And so this type of stuff is seeping in, and if you do nothing, it's going to take over, and you're going to start to see that reflected in your kids. You're going to start to see them manifesting values that you don't necessarily agree with, and it's going to be hard to wrestle those values and those notions from them if they're getting that pounded into them in the schools, which they're going to every day for long periods of time. And then online.
And online. So I guess one of two paths is one, the conservatives need a trustworthy elite, intellectual elite, aristocratic elite, on the power level,
Right.
and then also a creative elite that promotes their values and or divest from the current system. Is that what's needed? Those are the two paths. Choose your path, Western man, kind of thing.
Right,
Maybe,
right.
maybe not.
I mean, I think so. They definitely need to be more involved in the intellectual side, which, like I said, for a while they just said, "Nah, you go ahead, you liberals. That's your thing. You know, we're the more working class. We like to be do out there doing and not so much teaching and thinking and theorizing." So we definitely need more of that. And I love to see, you know, what like Chris Ruffo is doing. He's doing some great things there. But we also need to get it down to the people as well, because we know that most people, most humans, really across the earth, don't like woke stuff. So this is really coming from a tiny percentage of people, and that's what Americans need to understand. Woke people didn't take over because they're like a tiny, tiny percentage. And woke people are actually 6% of the United States. I don't think a lot of people understand this. 6% of the United States has managed to take over all of our institutions and make us all go crazy. And so we have power in those numbers. And I think that regular people also need to be involved, and we need to be talking to regular people as well, because they do have numbers, not only when it comes to voting, but like we saw in the case of Bud Light. You know, we can really move away from these companies. We're not going to watch that movie. We're not going to buy that product. We're going to go over here. I know, like parallel economies, like Public Square, and all these different entities, anti-woke industries are popping up, and they're gaining a lot of attention. A lot of my clothes, you know, I wear are from like conservative style shops, and where I live, everybody's wearing them, and that's something new, and I think that's a good thing. So we do need to be reaching out to the masses as well, because there's a lot of untapped potential and power in that.
Well, you bring up Bud Light, but let me counter you. COVID lockdowns, absolute emergency powers, the shutting down of the economy, the liquidation of private equity, the destruction of family-owned businesses, and the funneling of all that money into Amazon, and then Amazon gives it all back into the NGOs, which feed it all the way back into the government, which implements the policy that empowers these overlords. So, Bud
And
Light,
we did that.
yay!
And we did that, you know, that happened under Trump too. So we need to take some responsibility for that.
So, do you think that is a teaching moment?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it's good that we've hopefully learned. Many people have learned, maybe not all, but a lot of people have learned. So once, when, if, probably when it happens again, we can remember this and push back accordingly. Because I'm sure some other emergency, maybe it's not a pandemic, maybe it's something else, but it's going to happen again, because it was very effective in giving these people power.
So conservative, are you it sounds like you're making the case for a broad tent, or is it broad
Yes,
tent? So a broad tent conservatism. What are the principles then that can tie together this group of people? Or like you've said anti-woke a couple times. Is that sufficient? Is it sufficient to be against something? I know the left
no,
has anti-Americanism. They're getting a lot of
right.
run out of that, anti-white, anti any sort of power. So they're based on that, and they can corrode everything. But can you build anything with just being anti-woke?
No, I don't think so. And we need to focus on what is positive about America. How does America differentiate itself from other countries? And the fact that we have freedom, our constitution, I mean, we have more rights and freedoms than any other human on earth. And that's a great thing, and it's something to be celebrated. And really, what woke people are doing is they're taking that away. Whether they're openly admitting it or not, that's what they're doing. And so I think it would be smart for Republicans and conservatives to say, look, what conservatism is, it's in the name, conserve. Conserve the United States as it originally was. So everybody's free to say what they want, do what they want, you know, within reason, and focus on the everybody part. So, you know, you as a trans person, you're free to dress and express yourself as you want, But I have to be free to say, well, I disagree with that. I'm not participating and I don't believe in transgenderism or what have you. So that's an important thing that conservatives and Republicans need to hone in on. And they're not good at that. Not only do they not have a lot of institutions to express this, but this is another limitation that they have. They're just not good at messaging. They stumble over themselves constantly. I mean, we saw, the Katie Britt, State of the Union response, which was very, very cringe. And this happens all the time with them. They just can't figure it out. And that's why I think that these types of spaces, that this new like independent media and being free to speak our minds on Twitter, now X, I think this is going to be really helpful to kind of push the needle and give us more visibility that we would have had normally.
Okay. Why do conservatives suck then?
That's such a hard question to ask. I don't know. There is a certain, like I said, there's a big element of apathy,
Apathy,
like just not.
stodginess, anti-elitism, which is nice,
Yes.
but if it's channeled into a respect for authority, because conservatives do have loyalty as a moral foundation that's pretty strong among them, but it's just
Right.
the elite that they're handed right now openly despises them while
Yes.
making their life worse. So how can conservatives, who are the leaders? Who is the message apparatus? Who are the brave new lights? I guess Trump. What is your thoughts on Trump? And actually, can we get a little biographical and just like your political awakening, or were you always politically aware, and like the trajectory of how you got into being politically active?
Yeah, so I feel like I've always been politically aware, to be honest. I grew up in a liberal household. My parents were very liberal. And I remember at a young age figuring out politics because my father was a political junkie. And he was always watching CNN. I remember when CNN came out and watching the war, the first Gulf War at home. And I just had a realization that I'm not liberal like my parents. I just feel like it's too idealistic. And I like living in the real world. And I knew from a young age that I was more right-leaning. And when I turned 18, I registered as a Republican, and my parents were like, okay, you're a Republican. Went to college, sort of openly, I'm a conservative. And I remember my dad saying, don't you go in there telling everybody you're a conservative. Don't go in. The semester of 2004, when Bush was running for re-election, my father was adamant that I shouldn't go in expressing Bush Cheney. And I did, and I suffered for that from teachers, of course, and some students. But yeah, I feel like fundamentally in my core, I just don't understand completely the sort of American liberal mindset. I think we are very different people fundamentally. I really do. We have different worldviews. We have different views of reality and how things should run. And I'm just firmly on the other side of that.
Well, they have smugness going for them. What do
I
conservatives
hate
have?
that. Well, some conservatives have that, yes.
Oh,
Some
yeah.
of the I think that's some of a wealthy thing. But I've seen a lot of
Almost, yeah.
smugness in liberals. I can't stand it. And so that's always been a real turnoff for me, especially in college. I felt very unwelcome among liberals. It always has felt, you agree with us, you must believe in everything we say sort of blindly. You can't question. And I'm a questioner, and so I don't like that. And I've always felt more welcome on the conservative side. For a long, long time, I was very pro-choice, very feminist. Even environmental issues were really important to me for a really long time. And I felt totally fine with being a Republican and holding those views, quite radical views when I was younger.
Now
I
you're
never
like
had any
an
pushback.
anti-environmental trad wife.
I know. I don't know how that happened.
I'm just joking, but are you?
No, it kind of has. It kind of has. I mean, I don't know if I'm a trad wife. I'm a horrible cook and cleaner. But I got the kids. But
Yeah,
yeah, I
but
used to be really proudly feminist, and I'm not anymore.
What is how does your conservatism translate into being such a prolific birther or breeder, I guess is the term. Birther
Just
means
yeah,
birther
breeder.
something else, isn't it?
It's weird. Like, I never really thought I wanted to have kids. I mean, I was kind of like, well, I'll have kids. I've been with the same guy forever since I was 15. We've been
Oh
together
wow.
forever.
Oh wow. Huh.
And we were together a really long time before we had kids. And what's strange about it is with the feminist mindset, I'm gonna go to college, I'm gonna get this big job, I'm gonna have all this money and be a CEO or whatever. It never panned out, and I did all the things that they said I should. I went to 3 college degrees, spent 8 years in college. I tried working up the ranks. And then in 2020, after I had had 3 kids, I had this so awesome job. I just love this job. And here comes the pandemic, and poof, it's all gone. And I've been a stay-at-home mom since then. But after having kids, which I started before 2020, I started to feel more content, and I didn't feel this constant, I got to make money, I got to get a promotion, I got to get more, more, more. I started to feel more calm and content. Okay, I'm never going to be rich, I'm not going to be that CEO. That's okay. And so that was really interesting for me, how kids sort of brought me this peace that I didn't think would happen. Having children really changed me. It changed. I mean, I've always been conservative, but it definitely made me even more conservative.
How do you become more conservative in the direction of family, child?
Yeah, just being more focused on other people and the smaller things in life. Before I had kids, it was always, I need to make more money, we need to
Okay.
buy more things, we need to
Yeah.
go more places. And then when you have kids, that sort of goes away. But it's not depressing, it's not sad. And I think this is what a lot of women need to understand. I used to think that, and I used to tell my husband this, being, a wifey, horrible. This is like being in hell for me. I don't ever want that. And that's what I'm doing now, and I just love it. And so I think that this, like, feminism has been indoctrinated into us over decades and decades and decades, that working and being independent is the thing that you're going to enjoy doing the most. And it's not necessarily true for all of us. There
So
is another path.
you're not working your ass off being a mom of five
I
kids?
am. I
I
am.
just
And then
wanted to put a fine
I'm
point on
doing,
that.
well, I appreciate that. I am. And it's endless because you're always working. You don't get days off. I'm always working. It is very hard. But it's really rewarding, even though sometimes I want to jump out of a window. It's still, it's very rewarding. And I have these little people that love me, and I love them, and it's just amazing.
So how does what does that teach you about what a human being is, and how does that filter into your political philosophy?
Yes.
Watching these children, being in that relationship of incubating them, birthing them, being connected with them, and watching them slowly gather independence to themselves. What
Well, like I said, I feel like I'm a realist. I don't like this idealistic, liberal view that we can change human nature and
Okay.
kumbaya and all that. This is human nature. It's part of humanity. It's ingrained in all of us. It's the animalistic nature of us to want to have offspring and raise them and instill values in them and create that legacy. So it feels very natural. Not that working isn't natural or a part of human life, because certainly it is. But this, it really sort of almost like brings you back to your roots. It's very interesting, but it feels very natural to me. And I didn't grow up dreaming of weddings and kids. I grew up like dreaming of success and money. And so it was a very interesting transition to me after having my first child.
There's this heat map that Aiden Paladin, who she's a content creator on YouTube, very
I've heard of her,
young
yeah.
woman, conservative too, but rather, monarchist kind of that in that direction. But she's highly academic. She showed this study, and it's just a heat map of values for conservatives and liberals. And it's a kind of like a bullseye with concentric rings. And the center of the ring is self, then family, then community, then I guess country. And it goes out and goes to all humans, all animals, the universe itself. And conservatives cluster around the center. And liberals cluster around probably around the universal, and that really drove home to the point. It's such a visual representation of what you're describing when you say idealism. When you say feminism, you're talking about this care about the environment. I care about humans. I care about women, right? And then as a conservative, and then as a mother, you're like, I care about myself, so I can care for my children, for my husband, for my community. And so it might be the case that that also describes the conservative message problem, because the people who study the rhetoric and whose heart is in caring about humanity are going to figure out how to manipulate humanity. And by manipulate, just like message, send these message and propagandize to this group identity. And then the people who are cared more about your child, you have to propagandize to them. I'm going out on a limb here, but you have to propagandize. You're embedding your values into them, but you have to tailor that to the absolute individual instance. I'm sure every single one of your kids, any parent knows this, completely different people, completely different responses to completely different stimuluses. Discipline works one way with one person, another way with another person. Some people, like, you'll teach them values of hard work, but they're just a lazy lout. That's just their characters. Like, they love to lay around and stare at a wooden boat for an hour or two, and what are you going to do
I
about
got
that?
that.
So it might be the case that conservatism doesn't scale in the same way that what we're calling liberalism or woke does, because it's not concerned with this broad blanket messaging. The care, even to have a blank slate mentality, means that you're thinking about human beings as this thing called humanity, like, which is a made up term that you don't really realize because it's got such so much power over the imagination. So I just you're helping me to kind of rearticulate what you're saying when we talk about conservative, when we talk about liberal. What about homeschool? What about your responsibility to, cluster religious school? Where are you going? What's your path for that?
I don't homeschool. I moved specifically to an area where I felt comfortable with the public schools, but I paid very, very close attention. I'm one of those annoying parents. I'm very careful about what's going on and what my kids are learning. I think it's great if you can homeschool. It's tough though. It's a lot harder. I don't know if I could do it, to be honest. I hope I don't ever have to. I hope that they can continue going to school, but religious school is great if you have the money. Again, that's expensive. But we should be able to take advantage of public schools, and public schools should be teaching academics. They shouldn't be pushing their ideology. And I think this is one of the most dangerous things that conservatives have allowed happen. Allowing liberals to take over and start pushing their ideology, and they're doing it. I'm seeing it. So we just have to be very mindful, and we have to inoculate our kids against it, because they're going to, you can keep them home, you can keep them in a bubble, you homeschool them, you try and keep them away from other kids, but it's like a virus. They're going to encounter it. And so you got to give them that inoculation. You give them the vaccine. So that way, when they encounter it in the wild, they're not going to fall prey to it. And I think that's what, and it doesn't matter that it's wokeness. It could be anything, because there's a lot of evils out in the world. And so you have to do what you can to ensure that they don't fall for it.
Well, so the liberals advanced through the institutions by one, secularizing them, And
Yeah.
then promoting the myth of they're the neutral. They're the neutral
Right.
point of view. Dealing with a situation in a group that I'm a member of where they're trying to persecute somebody who is in favor of Trump because he's being political, but they don't see that they are completely political in the other way because
Exactly.
they just think that their way is the right way, and they're like
Exactly.
completely blind to it. And so the liberals proceeded through secularism to take control of the institution, to purge it of Christian and other ideologies that were not secular. And then what comes around in 2014, the old liberals die off or get less power. And then, sorry to say, the Gen X people aren't taking over, and so the millennials come in with their hyper wokeness,
Yeah.
and then they use the institutions, no longer secular at all. Diversity, equity, inclusion are the state religion. Rainbow flags up the wazoo. Drag queen story hours. What's your problem, you freaking Nazi, for not letting us teach your children how to suck each other's cocks? Like, what is your problem? Conservatism, if it's to conserve, how far does it back? Does it need to go? Is it not the case that conservatives somehow have to have a multi-religious coalition or some sort of secularism? Because conservatives, for some reason, are barred from pronouncing any positive, thick, or sticky ideology. It has to be kind of secular, right? So they're just at a disadvantage of not being able to promote a certain belief structure.
I don't think it is a
Okay.
disadvantage. Yes, it has to be secular, and I agree with that. And I'm probably on the unpopular opinion side as far as conservatives go. I don't think we need to be pushing God in school. But I think those norms and those values which come from Judeo-Christian beliefs are embedded in the Constitution. They're embedded in our original American foundation, and that's what they need to rely on to push. And one important point I think conservatives really miss, and I say this all the time, we constantly hear from progressives how they're inclusive and they're diverse and they're this and that, but they're actually not. They're extremely exclusive. Most of them are rich, white, uppities. And we're not countering that and using that against them. Take their own ideology and use it against them. How are you inclusive? You don't include half the country. You exclude anyone who doesn't believe w in wokeness, which is, guess what, 99% of humanity. So you're only including 1% of humanity, and you think that makes you inclusive. How does that make you I inclusive? We need to start throwing that in their face. And what they'll usually respond with is something like, well, we don't have to tolerate intolerance. Well, then you're not tolerant, are you? And what does intolerant mean? It means you're not believing in this new white liberal religion, which is exactly what it is. So we can use that right back at them. We can use the I'm not part of your religion, keep your religion to yourself right back at them. And we need to get, I've said this a lot, and I really believe it. Conservatives have purposely put themselves on the defense, and we shouldn't be there. We need to be on the offense. You have to physically change positions to put yourself on the offense or defense. And we're finding ourselves defending the existence of men and women. Are these people are nuts? Why are we defending that? That's insane. If they want to change the world and make this new bizarro religion, they need to be the ones on the defense, and they need to be the ones explaining to us the status quo, the vast, vast, vast majority, why we should change. And we just kind of let them take control and make it seem as if they're the status quo and they're the default. And I think a lot of the reason we've done that is because you look at them and you say, oh, look at, it's the weirdos and the dorks and the rich people and the, the uppities with their glasses and the kind of nerds. And so you look at them and think, ah, who cares? But they're smarter than they look. And they've done a lot of damage, and we need to take that back from them because we have the numbers at least.
Well, where do you see that pushback happening?
Well, it's beginning to happen in the culture, which is a good thing, and we need to do that more. You're seeing, this growing anti-woke movement. And if you go out in the wild and you talk to people, like I've never met a real woke person in real life. You see them online, but I've never met a crazy woke person in real life. And when you talk to normal people, even Democrats, even anti-Trumpers, and you talk to them about all this stuff, and they hate it too. And so we need to continue to push that. I've talked to a lot of Democrats who tell me, I hate everything that the Democratic Party has become. I hate everything about them, but I'm still going to vote for them because, they hate Trump. And that is a big messaging problem because Trump really isn't that conservative. I think he's just
He's a
an
New York
asshole.
playboy. Yeah.
Exactly. He's just an asshole.
They're a
And they
comedian.
see that. Yeah. And he's actually really funny and he's actually pretty liberal in my view. So it's really strange that they're objecting so hard to him. They're just objecting to his personality. They can't see beyond that. And so I sometimes wonder, like, was he in? Do the woke people actually secretly like him? Because this is really galvanizing their base. This is, I think, the primary factor that keeps people still on that side because of their irrational, and it is irrational, their irrational hatred towards him helps people vote for them, even though they hate everything that they've become, which shows you like the mindset, again, the idealistic mindset. I care more about what people are saying and their personalities than I care about the actual policies. I don't think that they've fully thought that through. They're thinking based on emotion rather than logic. And I think that we need to focus on those efforts really across the board.
What if the
It's a
right goes too
messaging.
far? What if the right.
Yeah, that it's a huge possibility. And that's why we need to temper ourselves as well and ensure that that Constitution, the original founding documents, are our North Star, and that's what we continue to adhere to.
Like such as what? What's so special about those founding documents?
Well, I mean, I think that's what sets us apart from other nations. We have free speech. We have the right to own weapons. We have the right to determine our upbringing and our personal religious or beliefs or lack thereof. A lot of places, they don't have that. And even in the West, there's a lot of places who they don't have the ability to say what they want. I mean, online, you've been seeing recently, is J.K. Rowling going to get arrested for calling this man a man? And that's just insane. It's like it, unconscionable to Americans that you could actually be arrested for something like that. But you can. You can certainly in other countries. I think we all understand in China or Russia, you could be arrested for something like that. But you wouldn't think that in the UK, you could be arrested for something like that. And it appears you can. And Canada's coming up with some crazy laws too, where you could be put in prison for just potentially thinking about a hate crime, which is nuts. And it's really important for conservatives to point that out, that the free-loving liberals, the ACLU, re we remember in our lifetimes, they used to defend Nazis, they'd defend anybody. They don't do that anymore. So there's been a huge shift, and I think there's a lot of denial from people on that side. No, the liberals wouldn't do that. They're doing it. And so we need to remind people that conservatism is basically at this point conserving liberalism. And maybe that should be a message, a trial balloon out there, because that's really what we're doing. We're conserving the American liberalism at this point because we're going way in the opposite direction.
Yeah, well, see, this is the when you get to the spicier parts of the right wing, the dissident right, the neo-reactionary movement and stuff, and where they say, conservatives are just conserving liberalism, but liberalism is what destroyed itself. It destroyed itself by, being so open-minded that its brains fell out, or so tolerant that it enshrined intolerance as a form of tolerance. So again, the critique is that liberalism itself is just an attitude of good faith in a world where that is not really afforded. And it was a very rare circumstance that America and we we secured the resources to be able to afford to have this kind of moment of liberal you do you stuff. And as soon as we got that, we started to erode all the morals that allowed us to create that, which allowed us to destroy it. So I'm just wondering, like, what is the coalition? How do you get these different people to these different conservative parties to have that liberal kind of secular, like, I'm not going to impose myself on you, you don't impose yourself on me, but we have to impose our will on the body politic somehow through some vector.
So I've said this a lot, and I think that a lot of this, you know, do whatever you want as long as it doesn't impact me, comes from excesses of libertarianism. So I think that there's obviously a lot of libertarianism within the conservative movement because it just makes sense. But this whole do whatever you want, you know, anything goes. We shouldn't be surprised then when anything goes, which is what's happening right now. So I think that some of the blame tends to go in that direction. It's not necessarily conservatives, because we believe in doing what you want and being free to live and express yourself, but you still have those morals and those norms. And a lot of libertarians don't think you need that. I mean, I've talked to many people who think that, no, you can have different religions and language and cultures and norms, and we don't need to have this cohesive identity of Americanism. Everybody can literally be as they wish. And that's not what us conservatives believe. You have to have a cohesive identity. It doesn't have to be based on religion, but it has to be based. We all have to have things that we agree with. And if it's not, we don't all have the same race. We don't all have the same religion. We don't even all speak the same language. So what are those things that hold us together? Yeah. And that's the ideals of free speech, you know, the all the rights that we have afforded to us in the Constitution, owning firearms, being able to live and raise our children as we wish, live where we want. I want to live on a farm. I want to live in a city. We should have the ability to do those things. But again, we have to share. There has to be something shared. And libertarianism says you don't have to have anything shared. And that's the problem. I think conservatives need to take a little bit more control and say, sorry, we have to have somewhat of a shared identity.
Which is what? I mean, You brought up freedom. That's just all negative values. It's like the government can't do this. We're going to restrain the government, but that's right. That's still the absence of a positive moral foundation, a positive shared moral foundation. Where does that come into play? And I'm going to guess it's probably around family. It's probably around a lifestyle and promoting a certain lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and these are
enshrining a certain lifestyle as the ideal. There has to be some idealism. That's what I'm saying.
But this is more of like the natural form of humanity. This is like, you know, humans are animals just like any other animal. Okay. And so what do animals do? What's their purpose? They procreate, they eat, they sleep, they hunt, they do this and that. Those are sort of the natural things they're supposed to do. We as humans are supposed to do those as well. We're supposed to procreate. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to contribute positively to our communities, help each other out, and so forth. I think these are all innate in most humans, not just here in the United States. It's just a matter of fostering that. I think, again, the problem with these woke people is they want to change fundamentally, and this has always been my problem with liberals in general. They want to fundamentally change human nature, and I view that as it's wasted effort. You're not going to change humanity, so forget it. You're not going to do that. You're not going to make everybody kind and caring and love each other and nobody's going to hurt each other. That's never going to happen, so stop thinking about it. We need to focus on just people going back to their roots, their human roots, starting those families, living those lives, trying to leave something better than you received it.
Mm-hmm. But you are at least insinuating, or if I play this out in my head, you're proposing that women have a nature, a social nature, a social role, even with a greater or lesser degree of tightness around that gender role.
I say it's biological. I don't like the term gender because when we're talking, it's social, it's manufactured. Biological is not manufactured.
Manufactured, the social is manufactured out of the
Right.
biological, though.
It is, but I think when we focus more on the biological, where the social role is where liberals think, oh, we can tinker, we can play with that because it's manufactured social construct, change, 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 change. You don't need to change everything. Things are the way they are, and we don't need to constantly be fixing things. And this is where liberals, in my view, go wrong. Everything isn't broke, so you ain't got to fix it. And once you do fix it, you don't go break it again, so you can keep yourself busy. And I feel like that's what a lot of liberals are constantly trying to do. Fix, 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 break, fix, break, fix, because they don't have nothing better to do. And that needs to stop. You don't have to be constantly going in this motion here. They need to find something better to do with themselves just
You're
to
up
live.
against, I think you put it briefly when we were talking about your life. You're up against decades of feminist propagandizing, or
Yes.
so-called feminist propagandizing. And there's different versions of feminism, and there's different gains that feminism championed in the liberal Enlightenment tradition, and then it became more and more unmoored from destiny, the destiny of the dame. Your messaging is, I don't know, there's a lot of different ways to send the message out, but I'm trying to figure out how to ask a question, but I'm being opinionated right now, so forgive me.
Please, no, please do.
If a woman is given, a young woman's given a choice, to be a power broker, and a sexually just free to do whatever she wants, or burdened with motherhood, and burdened with a man, and if she's in contract with a man, that man can cheat on her, and she's gonna be, or whatever. Like, he can disappoint her, and she's gonna be on the bill's gonna be on her because the babies are hers. Liberalism or libertinism has promised women so much, and it goes along with some talk about human nature. I, me, mine, that selfishness, that narcissism is very much fed into by that. Whereas the path of the conservative is self-sacrifice, it's responsibility, it's freedom. It's not freedom, it's liberty through responsibility. Actually, it's the opposite of freedom. It's being weighed down. It's finding your role as a servant rather than as a master. How do you go that? And I bring this up to women because I think one of the problems with the conservative movement is messaging around women, for women, by women. And without women, it doesn't work. And without good women, it doesn't work. Without good men, it doesn't work. I think this is all founded on some assumption of the good that we might be able to get at concretely by looking at sex, gender, families, and so on.
Well, I don't like the idea of thinking of women being wives or mothers and thinking that makes them servants. And that is something that is really common. And I thought that for a really long time. And that's the feminist indoctrination tells you that. But if you think about it, so I don't get married, I don't have kids, I go and work, I'm a servant to a boss. So you a servant either way. So you're going to be a servant to somebody. It's just who are you a servant to? Someone who really doesn't care about you and can leave you in a second. An employer can, you're gone, and that's it. There's no, you could have been there 20, 30 years, and they'll just let you go. They don't care. So the same thing can happen in either situation. But when you have children, you have that legacy. You have people who love you. You're with people who are going to be with you forever. You're going to die with these people. And when you just have that job and that money, you might die alone. And that's what I think we're going to see a lot of women over the next few decades. I think they said, but was it 2050 that half of women are going to be single and childless? So, over the next several decades, I can see like whole new funeral industries, segments of the funeral industry needing to be created for all these people who are alone. What happens to a body when you don't have a next of kin?
Pretty easy. You just have AI collect all of their Facebook posts and just broadcast a little memorial. Yeah.
So yeah, something like that. To who? And who's going to watch it?
All their
And I
Facebook
think
friends.
these women need to understand that. I had a great aunt who was 85. She lived alone. She didn't have any kids. She wasn't married. She wanted to be like this. She was totally fine with this. And she died in her house, and she wasn't discovered for 6 weeks. And it was a horrible, horrible mess that needed to be cleaned up. We ended up going there afterwards, and really terrible. But this is something that women need to understand. You're not being, if you're going to be a slave, and men are too, we're all a slave to something. That's just the way it is. We have to work, we have to do things. So it's just a matter of which path are you choosing. And I think in many ways it is sort of a false choice that you got to be a slave to the husband or a slave to the work. You know, I have 3 college degrees. And I worked a long time, and I'm hoping to go back to work and get a somewhat decent job, not doing this, doing other something else. But I also have 5 kids. So it is possible. It's not this like idealized notion. You're a CEO and you're super wealthy and you have these kids and this perfect life. Certainly, I don't think that exists anywhere. But you can have a family and you can have a job. That's not, it's not either or. And I think that needs to stop being the message. Conservatives are often painted as, and you heard this a lot, you know, over the past couple of days with that Katie Britt thing where she's in the kitchen and that's where the conservatives want women in the kitchen. And that's just not true. And it's funny because there's so many conservative women who are like, what? You know, I'm a horrible cook. I'm horrible at cleaning. And here I am. I'm not like a perfect wifey and I'm conservative and there's no problem with it.
And you're an editor online. You have a rich, spicy Twitter presence.
I do. I'm very spicy in that sense. Conservative women are strong. We are independent. I would say in many cases I've seen very meek and liberal women are very meek in the sense that, I mean, look at transgenderism. They're totally deferring to men. So it's so funny to say, oh, you just want to be in the kitchen and you want to be around men who want to be in the kitchen. And you want men to become women and then take spots of women.
Yeah.
Like, who's the more meek one here?
Yeah, but they're more morally superior to you. So.
Exactly. And that needs to be brought up. That's probably the most irritating thing about them is, you know, they say things like, white supremacy is the greatest threat to this country. And how are we going to solve it? Well, we're going to listen to the right kind of white people because the right kind of white people are going to save us from white supremacy. And it's just such, it's just such shit. And we need to be pointing that out.
So do you what is your writing centered around? Or are you mostly doing editing right now, or what's your
Yes, I do mostly editing, but I try and get a piece out at least once a month. I do, like I said, a lot of writing about woke stuff. The gender stuff bothers me quite a bit, so I do a lot of writing on that. But
What's
yeah,
up with the gender? What's your thoughts on
well, I think the
gender?
transgender stuff is it's just insane. I mean, I just I it, when you really stop and think about it, it just you can't even believe that this is happening. That people are being told that being a man and a woman is a choice and it's based on, you know, Western stereotypes and having long hair makes one a woman and having short hair and a beard makes one a man. I can't believe that this is happening. It's so dangerous for our culture. I mean, it really is, it's delusional. And I really think that you have to be nuts to believe in it. If you want to express yourself, you know, the way we dress, doesn't determine what your sex is. So it's not so much about the expression for me as it is with people saying, well, I have long hair and I'm wearing a dress, so that makes me a woman. It's just incomprehensible to me. Totally incomprehensible.
But what's there to say about that? though? And what's the root of that? Why are we here? How do we get out of that?
It's part of wokeness. It's part of this new secular woke religion. How we get out of it, I think, is to shine the light on it and show normal people how ridiculous this is. And I mean, it really is. It's we're all playing along. Where it feels very juvenile to me. It's something like my kids would do. You know, I'm wearing a costume. I'm literally Chase from the Paw Patrol now. You know, you're not. And kids understand this. And we need to stop playing around with actual kids, because kids are transgender as well, but also with adults. Being a man or a woman is not a costume. People should be free to express themselves however they wish, but the way you express yourself is your personality. There is no gender. You are what you are, your race, your species, your sex. These are immutable. That's what you are. And if you want to look, if I want to put horns on my head and tattoo my skin red, I can do that, but it doesn't make me Satan. And I don't have a right to walk around and say, you got to say Hail Satan, because that's how I feel. My essence inside of me is Satan, and I need you to affirm that for me. No, we have to stop. We have to stop with this, and we have to make that very clear. You know, everybody is free to express themselves the way they wish, right? But the focus is on the everybody, and that includes us. And so, if I don't want my expression, my essence of who I am, is that I'm not going to play with your ideology, I don't believe in it, I'm free to do that. So we're free to say no to this type of stuff.
So the positive values are in human nature. If you just say you do you, people will just kind of the common sense will kind of just perpetuate
Yes.
unassailed or snap back.
I think so. Because again, the thing with liberals is you're going against, like you said, like I said, human nature. This isn't normal to think that
Well,
having
Christianity
long
goes
hair.
against humans' nature. Like it's the story of every great religion is that human nature is messy and
Yes.
it's sinful and misses the mark, and here are guidelines to decrease your sinfulness or your inability to hit the mark correctly. Here's the steps to mastering yourself.
But it's also impossible. You know, like if you look at the Ten Commandments, I'm not a biblical scholar, but thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's things. Nobody in on earth goes through life not looking at something and of somebody else's and wants it. I mean, that's impossible. You break those things all the time. And so they're guidelines to follow, but under the mindset of you're never going to be able to follow these through because they're completely impossible because you're imperfect. And religions note that. And with wokeness, it's like, no, you have to follow them. You have to do whatever it is we say. We say the pronouns, we believe this, 2 + 2 = whatever you want it to. You have to believe that. And that's the issue there, is they expect 100% adherence to something that is completely impossible. Whereas religion, I think, recognizes that we're asking you to do something that you're never going to be able to do. So it's sort of like shoot your, what do they say? Shoot for the moon, so at least you land among the stars or something like that.
Get implode from the vacuum of space, which is also a likelihood.
Well, yes.
I'm pushing you. I'm trying to figure out something because there is just a vacuum of positive values, and every time a conservative approaches a positive value, it's seen as overreach. So it's such a fine needle to thread. It's like, listen, we want to not be authoritarian. We don't want we don't, that's illiberal. That's not tolerant. That's not diverse. That's not equitable or fair or equal. We want to return to a place where there is kind of a standard, but it's a soft standard where nobody's really in the helm telling everybody what to do. That's ideal under certain circumstances, but during wartime, during emergencies, during certain states of cultural decline, there will be a snap back to some sort of core values. And if you can't articulate those core positive values, then you're going to be out of the conversation when those core positive values are going to be needed in order for society to get through a bottleneck of, you know, absolute chaos, right? There has to be some sort of higher value there. What is that higher value?
I mean,
you say the Constitution, but the Constitution is the absence, as far as they could make it, is the absence of a positive value. It's handing over responsibility to the individual. And if you look at what that actually happened, it was just a bunch of ideals on paper. Then this huge state came in and started to articulate through the, you know, the Fed or central banking, you know, power is power is power. And the power, right. You know, like no matter how much we try to limit government, the government's still the government. It's still the biggest government. It's the strongest government. It's the most intrusive government on the planet, probably in history.
I think when you talk about every time a conservative said something, it seems authoritarian. In many ways, that's our fault because we've allowed liberals to take over so much that just our existence is bad. Every time we open our mouth, we're saying something bad. And we need to let that fear go.
Okay.
And so I think we just, you're going to call us a Nazi anyways. Okay. So it doesn't matter what we do. And once we get rid of Trump, they're not going to change. They're still going to hate us. They're going to go after whoever the next person is. If it was Vivek or if it was DeSantis who had won the nomination, they're going to treat them exactly the same way they treated Trump. And so conservatives need to wake up to that. They're not going to treat any of us any different. It's very clear. We hate you. You must be like us. You have to think the way we do. And we're the resistance to that. And so I do think we need to get away from being so timid. And you see this very, very clearly with Republican leaders, elected officials. So the Republican elite. And like if you look at Utah as a good example, the governor, this is supposed to be a red state, very, very red. The governor's got the pronouns. They're allowing their school districts in very red areas to be taken over by these people. So they need to stand up and have more of a backbone and understand that when it comes down to it, most people are on our side. So, for example, when you see these progressives talking about we want to get rid of the family unit and suppress that, and we want to uplift these queer people and all these queer notions, they're not living like that. You know, they're a man and a woman, married, having kids, living in a probably fairly conservative area in a nice house. They're living the way that they're telling people not to live. And that, I think that's purposeful. It's purposeful to tell people, don't live like us. We're going to live differently. We're pushing this bizarre ideology, but we're actually living like conservative people. And so that needs to be pointed out. And so conservatives really need to get over that notion. And that's something that they need to evangelize. These people are hypocrites in their life. They're not going to live the way they're not queer people and trans people. They're pushing it, but they ain't that themselves. And so I think that's a very important thing as far as, you know, what are the values and how can conservatives push our values? I think living them. I think another big thing to note is that in many polls, liberal people are shown to be more mentally ill, more unhappy, whereas conservatives are less likely to report mental illness, less likely to report unhappiness. And so showing them, look, we're the happy ones. We're living our lives. We've got our families. You want this. This is the way to go. This is your natural being. This is where, you know, over time, we can measure that this is where people are most happy.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It's just, you gotta, I mean, ultimately, I perfectly agree with you. Nobody can be a, it's got to come down to people voluntarily living out their lives in this direction. And ultimately, modeling that is the key. and any sort of rhetoric pronouncing it will be not only inefficient, but likely just to attract slander as a hypocrite, because you're gonna fail. You're not gonna be able to live up to that ideal and stuff. There is the fact of the matter is that the government, the education, academia, the media, to a certain extent, the military, all the medical associations, this whole thing that some people call the cathedral, is tremendously powerful and is draining America's resources at a phenomenal rate, is robbing us blind, is devaluing our purchasing power. And it might be the case that it corrects itself if there's enough of a popular uprising against it or enough people opting out. It might correct itself. It might be the case that, as you say, 6% of the people are woke. But if 6% of people are woke, why is the CIA and the FBI making woke propaganda videos, right? Why is the military making all this woke shit? And it's because this woke stuff, so-called, works in the direction of consolidating power. So you don't have to believe it, but it does consolidate power. And eventually it's going to staff the entire power structure with mediocre, selfish narcissists, and it's going to burn to the ground. And you pray for self-correction, but the fact of the matter is that it's a fallen world and it's a rapidly decaying system, and it's going to be terrible if it actually does collapse in what, national divorce or whatever permutations of
Well,
that.
there's a couple of things I think to keep in mind is that when we're talking about, the woke are 6%, why have they taken over everything if there's so few of them? And it's that they are the richest and most powerful people. And so a tiny percentage of really rich and powerful people have taken over everything. And to me, it's a bit of a white pill to know that it is just a small percentage of rich people whose only value is really money. That's it. That's their only value. They have money and they've been able to take over these institutions. And it's concerning, but I would be more concerned if this was the masses. If this were a grassroots thing and most people were like, yeah, transgenderism and all the DEI, I would be much, much more worried because you're going to have a harder time convincing millions and millions of people rather than pushing out a few. And let's be honest, 70, 80, and 90-year-old elderly white men who are the real puppeteers of all this crap. Who are going to be, piecing out pretty soon, just naturally. So I think that's something really important that we have to keep in mind. We have the masses, and we need to ensure that they don't go along in that direction. And then, I'm sorry, what was the second point that you had made?
I can't remember, but the masses need an oligarchy. I mean, we need to, the masses need an elite.
They do, and they need an elite that reflects them. And that's what we need to do is we need to the problem is and again you see this really clearly within the Republican establishment is they want the money too. So you see them starting to fall, and I think that this will eventually happen, and this will be very concerning if the Republican Party decides to go the way of the Democratic Party, and eventually, and you hear this all the time, Republicans are just Democrats doing the speed limit or whatever. If they decide the money is more important than the values, then we're in big trouble. So we need to focus on we need people to represent us. And that's tough to do. It's tough to get them through our political system. When they need so much money, you need massive amounts of money to win elections. And where is that money coming from? It's coming from the top generally. It's not coming from the bottom. And so that's going to be the toughest area to get around is coming from the elite. We do need that. But when you have enough people on the bottom who are calling for changes, like remember the Tea Party movement, that was fairly effective and that came from the grassroots. And I also think One important thing that conservatives don't do enough is highlight that this is an elitist movement. And I try and do this all the time, and what you'll notice is as soon as you bring up like this is an elite movement, this is a rich white liberal thing, immediately the reaction becomes, oh no, I don't like elites. I'm not a white liberal. No. Yes, you are. You are, and you're ashamed of it. You know, we're not ashamed of being who we are. We don't shy away. We walk around, we wear shirts, you know, that have our political beliefs. We're very, very vocal about this. And you notice that with these people who push these elitist beliefs, it's very much like they do so almost with shame. You know, don't paint me that label. I'm not a progressive. I'm not a I hear this all the time. I'm not a liberal. Well, then what are you? Because you're not a conservative. You know, it's almost like they push this stuff, but they feel shame. They can't admit that they are on the side of the elite because it's naturally shameful. And we should do this. And it also plays well with other demographics because nobody wants to say, I'm on the side of the rich white liberal. Nobody wants to say that. But when you're supporting wokeness, you are.
Yeah. Well, you got to be on the side of some rich white person. No?
Well, I mean, I get you do need to have some wealthy people on your side. But what's interesting is Trump is a rich white person, right? But he don't seem like it. So he's not painted as a rich white person. He's not painted as an uppity fuckity, you know, like all these other people are. And that is something that Republicans really miss. It's a big messaging advantage, I think, to push we are the grassroots, we are the normal people, we are the working class, we are, and you're starting to see the demographic shift with more Hispanics coming over here. Black people are sort of slowly doing that as well. And I expect that you will see more of that naturally. And you mentioned a minute ago, this is what I meant to mention. You said voluntarily, people voluntarily doing this, you know, coming to do this, coming to this side. And I think that's extremely important that people recognize this voluntarily and sort of move naturally back to the center or back to the right. Because when people are doing this artificially, when it's manufactured, when it's being pushed on them, think about like the Black Lives Matter movement a few years ago in 2020. Everybody jumped on board. Everybody was pushing this diversity message. That's where the huge movement towards DEI came from. And where are we now? Falling away from it because it was manufactured. It was pushed. It wasn't a natural thing. People didn't naturally believe in that movement. They felt like it was the trendy thing to do. And this is why I do think that much of wokeness, including transgenderism, is a fad. It's not something that people believe really deeply inside their souls. It's something that they're just adhering to now because it's popular. You know, the virtue signaling that you see from these people. It's not real. They're just saying that for social credit. And so that means that they're squishy. They don't really believe it. Whereas people like us, we really believe in our fundamental beliefs and in the importance of family and freedoms and being able to do what you want and live your life without interference from the government or from other factors. That's something that we feel naturally, and so we're going to feel that more strongly. And we need to galvanize that natural, organic, grassroots support rather than what woke people have is the manufactured. And you hear this all the time, especially from liberal people. Well, I don't agree with it, but if I say something, you know, oh, I'm going to lose my job. I'm not going to get invited to that dinner party. I'm going to lose my friends. My family might be mad at me. Well, so they're immediately admitting that they don't really believe this. They're doing this just because of social pressure. And we'll do amazing things for social pressure. I mean, some people will cut their own dicks off for social pressure, which is crazy, but it does happen. And so we need to get more people to feel comfortable with naturally being yourself and not ma organically coming to the realization that you don't want this wokeness, that we like America the way it was. and coming to this realization and stepping back, even just pushing back against wokeness and just saying no, will move mountains against this movement. I truly believe.
The way it was.
Yeah. And I mean,
in 1882?
I think that's more of like
1492.
Not necessarily at a specific place in time, because obviously we had a lot of problems. There was slavery, and we've had a history of racism and so forth. And
September 10th, 2021, or 2001.
I don't know. I don't know if you can pick a particular time, more of like a mindset. And I mean, I remember back before 9/11, it was a much different world. It felt much simpler. Things feel much more complicated. I remember growing up in the, you know, the late 90s, and that was really violent. The gang days, you know, that was really big where I was from. And even
oh, wait,
back
were you
then,
a banger? Were you a gangbanger?
I wasn't, but I'm from Tucson. I'm from Tucson, so Arizona. And so that was big where I grew up. You know, yeah. I grew up in like a Mexican neighborhood. So it was really big, a lot of gangbangers when I was a teenager. But even thinking back to that time, that crazy time, it still seemed simpler than it is now. And it was more violent and crazy, but it seemed like even the gangbangers had more values and more, you know, like, we're not going to shoot the kids. We're going to try and avoid shooting the kids, you know, and they actually got in trouble. You know, if you shot somebody, you actually went to prison and you didn't have to worry about them getting out. So things have changed immensely from that time. And we need to push people back to our roots, I think, is maybe a good symbolic way to describe it.
Mm-hmm. What's your audience? Who do you perceive your audience to be?
I try to reach out to not the intellectual type. So that's who I know your audience is more of, intellectuals, and that's great.
Wait,
and that's
hold on.
So important.
Are you guys, can you answer? Are you intellectual types? No, I was asking the audience. I wonder.
Like,
subscribe and check out Rebecca's Twitter too while you're at it. But tell me, are you guys intellectuals? Anyways, so you don't reach out to them. They're not your base.
I don't believe so. No, I would
you
consider
like plumbers.
My base. Yeah, people like me, absolutely, because I think that these are the people who are not getting the message. And again, it needs to come. We need the grassroots. We need the people. I think that the numbers is where I'd like to focus, getting people galvanized in that sense. And just to provide an example. So I just said I grew up in a Mexican neighborhood, a working class Mexican neighborhood in Tucson. As early as 2016, I would not go in that neighborhood displaying, you know, wearing a conservative shirt or Trump or something like that. If I go back there now, I do. I have no, I mean, I'm not a big Trump supporter, to be honest. So I wouldn't wear a Trump shirt, but I would have no problem wearing it in that neighborhood right now. And that's really changed. People are, they're changing. And I don't think that this is necessarily a blip. I don't think that this is a one-time thing. I think there really is, you know, we constantly talk about the parties are shifting. I think they are. They are shifting, whether you want to say they're shifting back to normal, because, you know, the Republican Party was originally the party that was, against slavery and for uniting the states, and the Democratic Party was the bad racist and so forth. I don't know if it's a shift back to the original ways, but it does feel like it was kind of doing like this for a while, and Trump made it sort of go like this. And I think a lot of people, specifically the masses, the normies, the apolitical ones, they haven't yet caught on to that. I think at the top levels, they recognize this. I think maybe the elites in the Republican Party don't necessarily like that, whereas the Democrats are enjoying a really great spot right now, because they have the more rich people. They're really the party of the rich, but they still have the masses thinking they're the party of the good guy, when they're really not anymore. And the Republican Party has the disadvantage of no longer having that base of elite people representing them, rich people, and the masses are still, many of them are still thinking they're the party of the racist. So we need to really appeal to grassroots, to regular Americans, to get them to update that. The Democratic Party doesn't represent you anymore. The left doesn't represent you anymore. They represent the rich, and they need to know that. And so that's, I guess that would be my message to people.
You have a lot of work to do then.
I know, it's so far behind. But we're doing it, and we're waking people up, and more people are recognizing it, and we're seeing really positive growth. I think it's going to take a long time. And we might not even see the entirety of the fruits of our labor. But I think we're moving in the right direction, and I think liberal people are so crazy. Their ideology is nuts. It just doesn't make sense. And pointing out all their crazy stuff, you know, like Libs of TikTok has done, super effective. They hate it. And I mean, how many people do you think she's piqued? A whole bunch of them. And that's a good thing. And we need to ensure that we're not just speaking to the educated classes, we're speaking to the masses, because that's where you're going to push the cultural change. That's really where we can push back against American Maoism.
What's next for you then, publication-wise or otherwise?
I mean, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm just trying to reach as many people as I can, and just push back as much as I can. And everybody needs to do this. This is a concerted effort, and everybody can find ways to help. Even if you're one of those types that's like, I'm scared, I can't say anything, everybody has a role to play here, no matter how smart you are. And this is another thing that's really important. I think a lot of people feel like wokeness is so intellectual, it's so high level. As soon as they start talking, you know, I don't know what they're saying. It's too high level for me. I don't understand the words and so forth. And so, you know what? You just reject it then. If you can't explain to me in a language I understand what you're trying to push, I reject it. And they can't explain it into a language that normal people can understand, because it's inexplainable in a language that normal people can understand. And so I want everybody to know that they have a very important role, and collectively we are just, if not more important, than all the elites and intellectual people who are pushing back on this.
Do you have a book in you?
I don't know. I think about that a lot. I would love to write a book. I don't know if I have one in me, but maybe deep down somewhere it's brewing.
What's something that you and your family really enjoy doing all together? It's a big hit. I guess you have quite
Yes.
a age range, and you have a 7-month-old,
I do.
so.
I do. And we just got a puppy.
Why do you do
I don't
this to
know. I don't know.
yourself?
My husband is really upset about it. It was funny because he was
I
telling
would
me,
be
I
too.
don't, well, he told
Poor
me he didn't want a
man. Is he on
dog.
Twitter? I need to console him.
He's not. He tries to stay away from this stuff, but he told me no dog. And then he kept sending me these websites and saying, well, if you want a dog that I disagree with, you better call this website and get this dog. So we did. And he's stupid. He's pissing and shitting everywhere. And we've had him for a month, and I don't know what to do. I'm afraid he's retarded. He's so cute. He's the cutest dog. He's a boxer, and I just love him. But he won't go. He won't go outside. So we've got, you know, the boys pee, and then the dogs pee, and then there's just urine everywhere.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you what was the fun thing that you guys do
Yeah,
together,
but
but I guess it's
not the
just you
urine.
just have a piss party? Is that
Yes, we have piss parties and shit parties. But just being together, you know,
I
we
mean, do you
always
guys like have
have.
like an activity? Like is there
You know, when you have this
It's
many kids.
yeah, and then they're still too young, so you guys don't have game nights or like
Exactly.
a pool party or something like that.
Yeah, just going, you know, we try and do things together, the smallest things. And this is what I noticed after having kids. When I was in that feminist mindset, everything had to be big. The only thing I could enjoy was taking a vacation, buying something expensive. But then when you have kids, you start to recognize that the small things give you enjoyment. Like, well, later today we're all going to go grocery shopping together, and you know they're going to be running around, and it's going to be hard to manage them, but it's fun that we're all together and we're making these memories, and they're funny, and just being together and having dinner. You know, we always sit together at the dinner table every night, and so those types of things bring you joy. And I think this is another reason why I felt so much contentment with having kids, is you're not always having to reach for something that's unreachable or that's so difficult that you can't do it frequently. And now just having dinner with my kids brings me enjoyment. And it's just such a small thing that doesn't cost a lot of money. And we do it all the time, and it gives me immense joy.
Well, Rebecca, thank you very much for
Thank you.
carving out some time from your family to speak to me about your project. Why don't you plug your outlets so people can go and look, and they'll be linked in the description.
Yeah, thank you. So you can follow me on Twitter or X, just Rebecca Avello. And then I also write, you can catch my articles on Wrong Speak Publishing. And if you're not subscribed to us, please do so, because we have fresh new content all the time. We have our opinion pieces, and then we have our news side as well. So follow me on Wrong Speak and X.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. And the recording.